I'll go last. Maybe you guys have figured out who's going to go first. So whoever it is, come on up and kind of tell everyone what the Lord did for you on the trip. Let's go first.
Youngest to oldest, I guess. Well, it was a great trip, and just want to first of all thank the Lord for allowing me to go. I've been wanting to go on one of these for quite some time, and it just allowed me to go on this one and have most of my family be there, so that was neat. And then thank you guys and all of you guys who prayed for us, because it really definitely made a difference in just being able to see how prayers over there, like, for a lot of years I've been praying, you know, for my dad and the people who've gone in there, and just to actually see it over there, how that, you know, that people back here are praying, and just see it work and help, and how God just hears and answers prayers. Well, the first we started out in Varna, and like the first few days on the street were like, people were really receptive and everything, and actually, like, the first day someone gave me free food, and like they're all happy and they like came over and gave me free food, and then the next day someone gave me money, and I was like, man, this is awesome, you know. Like, man, if I keep up this, and I'll be pretty much paid to go on the trip. Anyway, so it was just really neat to see them receptive, and then the meeting, and then the Orthodox Church really started, you know, hitting the people and really, you know, getting after them and stuff. And then, like, Brother Mulutu read this thing to us, and like they were saying all these things about our group and how, like all this group of people, like, you know, all dressed in black and like like sending you to hell and everything. And it was just like, it was really sad to see how they're really trying to blind the people and get them, you know, just how they have them so wrapped around their finger, around the Orthodox Church and everything. And then later when we went out to Burgas, this happened after Varna, and when we went out to Burgas, the first day I wasn't on the street, I was in apartments, but the people on the street hardly got out a few boxes, and it was just how the people were really, you know, oppressed by what they have said, or, you know, how the devil is just really getting in there. And then just seeing how, so then we started really praying and everything, and just seeing how the Lord worked out those prayers. And the next day we were on the street, I'm pretty sure, and people were just really receptive. And just to see how the change of, from only getting a few boxes out to like the next, a couple days later, we got out, like, we had to get more boxes right away, and just, everyone was taking them, and it was just a really big blessing to see that and how the prayers really worked and everything. And it was also neat in Varna. You go out on like the day of the meeting in the morning, and two of the people that I was like able to actually talk to on the street and personally invite and, you know, kind of edge them on to come more, I actually got to see them at the meeting, and I don't know if they got saved, but, you know, out of the 100 or more people that got saved that night, I'm just praying that they were two of those people, you know. So that was neat to see. And then just all the seeds, all the Bibles that went out. I mean, that's a lot of Bibles. And one of the guys that preached one of the mornings, he was talking about how we don't necessarily need to talk to them, you know, because, like the Bible says, you know, his word will not return void. And just how just getting a seed in there, you know, in God will prepare the ground of, you know, their hearts and everything. And just how, I guess, Brother Mulucci and his church have worked there for a while, getting all those Bibles out and everything. And by now, after our trip, 40% of the whole entire Bulgarian population had the gospel. And that was just really neat. Like, 40% of them had the word of God in their hands. So that was a blessing. And then another thing that really was a blessing to me was the Mulucci and their family and their church, and just the zeal that they had, and just how, like, just how, like if we had the zeal, like, the teachers and that thing, but, like, if all of us had, like, the zeal of, like, their people in their church, like, how much we could do and everything, because, like, they had some teenagers and the kids, like, even the Malucci kids who are, like, all of them are under 12 years old, and they had been doing this long before we came, and just to see their eyes light up when we would help them and everything, and just, they were just faithful on the streets, and they had three teenagers that really, you know, were a blessing to me. They were, like, my age, and just really had a zeal for getting the word out to their people. You know, it's easy to have a zeal to get word out to get the word out to other people. You know, have a zeal for other people that aren't really your culture or whatever. You know, it's easy to have that burden for them, but to see them have that for their own people and just to be really convicted, you know, having that zeal for people back here and everything. And then their church and their kids fasted throughout this whole time or whatever, getting ready for the meetings. They fasted all together. They fasted a whole month. And even their young, like, one of the younger kids who was, like, I think 6, his dad said he fasted, like, over a month. And then, like, we can't even fast a day for revival, you know. That was just really convicting to me, and just how they're so dedicated and faithful to getting the gospel to the people and fasting and knowing that you know, having faith in what God can do over there and everything, and then just taking it to the next level spiritually and not getting complacent and you know, where you are in your relationship with God. That just really, someone preached a challenge on that, and that just really was an encouragement to me. And then, so yeah, all that. And then I did have some cultural experiences. I got to try calamari squid. That was interesting. I went to eat it, and the missionary boy, he gave me some of his squid that he ate every night when we went to this one restaurant. He got it every single night. And I went to cut it on my plate or whatever, and he's like, "You're not going to be able to cut that." And I was like, "Well, how am I supposed to chew it, you know?" I was like, "If I can't cut it with a knife." And then I got to try seaweed, which tastes like what the word says. It tastes like a bunch of rubber bands that were stuck on the bottom of the ocean for a very long time. It was probably the worst thing I've ever eaten in my whole life. But yeah, and then if you're ever stuck in Turkey, which, I don't know, if you ever get stuck there, and you are given the option for bathrooms, choose the Western-style bathroom, because the Western-style and the Turkish-style bathrooms are the same price anyway, so just a little tip for you guys if you're ever stuck in Turkey. Thanks for your prayers. I just want to thank you guys for your prayers, too, and it was a blessing to go on another mission trip. I'll start off with some of the interesting people that we met. One lady, I've never gotten this before, like, so much rejection. I think it was our first day doing apartments, and usually apartments are like, oh, easy day, nobody rejects you, they're just mailboxes. So the first apartment I did in that country, I went to go put one in the mailbox. I handed one to the guy there. He took it. Lady came out and asked what we were doing. I gave one to her. And she stood up to the side, looked at it, and all of a sudden she got really angry. And she started ripping them out of the other mailboxes and just yelling at me. And she ripped them in half and everything. So I got most of them in there and then went on. And then I was in a different apartment putting them in. And then she followed me and tried to, like, stop me again and grab me and rip them and just all this stuff. So I was shook up about that. And it's just, like, that's not even that bad, you know, if you think of what other Christians go through, that's not bad at all, you know, so it's just, you know, an experience. But a couple of funny people I met, one was my mom and dad and I and another girl, we were walking back, and the Orthodox priests over there, they don't try to modernize themselves like they do here. They wear these creepy-looking robes and just all this stuff. And so we're walking back. We're trying to hurry. We have to get back to the hotel by a certain time because the bus is leaving. And I had to stop because I see this Orthodox priest in his dress, and he's standing by a moped, and I'm thinking, is he seriously going to get on this thing? Sure enough, he ties the dress between his legs and hops on and rides off. So that was a sight to see. And then one guy, it was the last day, and we were passing out John and Romans, and, you know, we were just passing them out, and some people speak English. All of a sudden, this big guy came up to me, and we go to hand it to him, and he leans over, and he goes, 7 o'clock tonight at the Opera House. And I was like, it seriously sounded like a threat. I was, yes. So that was very interesting. But those are just kind of fun little experiences. But with the Lord, there's several things that the Lord really showed me, and just different little things, because I have a lot here. But one of the main things, just, again, just how deserving I am of just the Lord's long-suffering, the Lord's goodness, and just, you know, even the people there that we were with, they don't necessarily have a good church to go back to, and different things, and it's just such a blessing, and just very humbling, too. I had at least two of the Bulgarians come up to me, and they told me, you know, I love America, and America's the best country. And it's like, well, what do you say to that? You know, it's just humbling. Like, I don't deserve it any more than they do. So, and just, we stood in a lot of lines with our passports because we got stuck in another country. We just had to keep standing in lines. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I don't really want to be here or whatever, maybe. And I would just look at my passport and say, you know, thank the Lord that I might not be able to go home today, but this is, you know, I wasn't born in Turkey, or I wasn't born in, you know, some Islamic country or something like that. So, and then one thing Brother Malu just said that was really good, you know, is you always think, well, maybe the Lord will have me on a mission field someday, and maybe, you know, I'll have to live in, like, these certain conditions, and that'll just really be something for the Lord. And he said he tells his wife this, and he reminds himself of it, of, you know, even if you are on the mission field and you have to live in hard conditions, why would that impress God? All those other 100,000 people there, they live in those same conditions. Why are you any better than that? So that was just something to remember. It's just, you know, it's what you do for him that matters, not where you live or how you live or anything like that. It's what you're doing. Some of the neat things was, like Rachel said, the Malucci kids were a big blessing, and it was just neat at the end of the week. Brother Malucci thanked us for, you know, what we were able to do with the kids, because they come back to the States, and the Americans they meet, they go to Six Flags, so they do fun things with them. And he said it was neat that they worked so hard on the mission field themselves, and that they were able to work with Christians doing the Lord's work instead of just enjoying things that everybody enjoys. That they were able to enjoy doing the work of the Lord, and that was just a blessing to be able to do that with them and encourage them that they're not the only one. Another neat thing, on the street, one lady wouldn't take it, and she had a little boy on, like, a little scooter thing, and she said no. And the boy just had the saddest look on his face, and was just moving his fingers, and I kind of smiled at the mom, and, you know, so I was able to give him a John and Romans. You know, obviously he couldn't even read yet, but, you know, you don't know what the Lord's going to do with that mom. That, you know, she couldn't say no to her son, and now she has a John and Romans. And just, it's some neat things. Like, we were able to sing at the Malucci's and just hear them sing in Bulgarian. It was just a really sweet time. And then, like Rich said, the people at the church over there, one girl, she was so funny. The first day we met, we're walking, and she goes, do you guys do this at home? I was like, oh, yeah, we do this at home. We give out tracts, and we go downtown, and I was telling her about it, and she was just couldn't believe it. So, you know, just it was an encouragement to her, and she was funny. Like, we're at this bus stop, and it'd be slow, and we'd be passing them out, and the bus would come. She'd, the bus is here. She'd run to the bus. So that was, it was just fun to work with her and just, you know, work alongside other Christians. Another thing was just the obvious spiritual darkness. It seems like a lot of the religions here try to modernize themselves so Americans will buy into it. You know, they don't dress in the long, creepy, dark robes and tell you that, you know, you're going to go to hell if you get a Bible and different things like that. But there they will. And it's just, you know, and the people still believe in it. It's just how backwards it is. But one lady, the lady in the pictures lighting the candle, she was in there for quite a while. And it was just, like, so sad to see her. And I was just praying that I had a John and Romans on me, and I was praying that I'd get an opportunity to try to give her one. And sure enough, as she was walking out, I went to try to give her one, and she wouldn't take it. And it's just, you know, she's just so pious and so religious, and yet she doesn't want a Bible. And that's just blindness. And one guy, he told me, I was on the street, and he said, "We don't need you. We need you. Just go back to where you know, your country." And it's just, in a way, I kind of got a blessing out of it that, no, as I told him, I said, "No, you don't need us. You don't need America. You don't need, you know, this missionary here. You need the Bible, and that's what we're giving out. He needs that." And it's just a blessing that, you know, we're not representing America. We're not representing certain people or religion. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, and that's what these people need. And it's just such a blessing that we have that to give them, something true. So that was neat. And our stay in Istanbul, that was interesting. And it was neat because just earlier in the week, we heard some about the Muslims because they've had some impact in Bulgaria. And Brother Don was saying how he talked to a Muslim one time and who told him that that he got to witness to him. He said, "Well, we've never heard this." He said, he's like, "Some of us love Americans. Some of us want to hear these things." And he said, we don't have the opportunity, and we're in this religion out of fear." And it was neat when we were in Istanbul, we had quite a few American tracts on us. So we got to give out so many tracts in English if we talked to somebody and knew that they spoke English. And actually, nobody refused one. Here they are, Muslim people, and nobody refused a gospel tract. So that was just, it was really neat to see that, you know, they're Muslim because that's all they know. And even in the call to prayer, it seemed like it didn't disturb the people. People just went on. But that's just what they are. And when we're on the plane on the way back, this is just kind of a funny thing. We're there 2 days, and we finally get on the plane to go to Newark, and we're supposed to get back that day. And then the lights go out on the plane, and they say, "Okay, we're having mechanical issues." So we're thinking, okay. About half an hour later, they're still not getting it done. Somebody gets on the PA and says, "If there's a doctor on board, please come to the back of the plane." And I'm thinking, what kind of a flight is this? Sure enough, we did not get home that day, but we got home eventually. So, and then one other thing that the Lord I really got out of this trip was the morning preaching was really good. We had a lot of men there who really, you could tell, knew their Bibles, knew the Lord, and it was just, all the preaching was really a blessing. And one thing that I got out of Mexico from before was just, you know, I just think of all the people who have prayed for these people that you're handing the gospel to. You know, maybe like Harlan Popov, who prayed for his own people. Maybe they have a relative who's just praying for them. And one of the men there preached on the rich man and Lazarus, and he said, you know, the rich man, he wanted people to go back to tell his family. And I thought of all those pictures of people who hear these people, in the Orthodox Church, they're praying for their dead family members to get out of purgatory. Well, those people in hell are praying that their family members will get saved. So just that kind of struck me, just something to think about of just how to keep going. You don't know, you know, those, their family members who are in hell want you to keep going. So
I'm not going to preach. but I actually wasn't even planning on coming to this trip. I was all set to go to China. I was going to buy my plane tickets, and that dropped through, and the Lord closed that door. And then, actually, this is a couple months later, I don't know, June or so, or May, and I was during my work break, and I was reading my Bible and doing devotions type of thing, and I got a missed call, I noticed, on my phone, so I was like, so curious, and so I listened to the voicemail, and it was that Brother Jowling saying that there's opening for the trip, and for for Christ's trip, and I was like, wow, it is such an answer to prayer, because I had really wanted to go on a missions trip this year, and so I was like, well, I guess I'll pray about it, and it's like, Lord, do you want me to go on this trip? And it's like, just let me know. And so actually, I was in the middle of reading Isaiah 62, and I had stopped at the verse 9, and then after I had prayed, Lord, do you want me to go? The next verse I read was, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, and lift up the standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And I just kind of thought, wow, okay, that's a big sign. And from then on, the Lord just prepared the way for me to go, and my boss actually wanted me to go. She's like, that'll be a good experience for you. Yeah, we'll make the time for you to go. I was like, wow, okay. Thank you, Lord. And I had a little trouble with my passport, but that ended up working out. And yeah, that was just really amazing to me that the Lord just talks to you like that. And it's always really special to me when he just does something like that that's just for you. And then when we had those challenges that Rach and Sarah and Brother Drawing were talking about, and it was like the second day we were in Varna, and he was talking about one of the, I think it was Brother Larry, who helps head up the Cures for Christ, and he was talking about how we should ask for the Lord to change our lives on this trip. And then from then on, I was like, wow, I didn't even think about that. I was just praying for the people, and for me to have the right heart about it. And I guess I hadn't really thought about that. So from then on, I started thinking more about, like, wow, how come my life hasn't changed? And I'm like on the fourth day and stuff. And I don't know, I guess that's dumb because I'm only four days into it. But I was all like, man, I thought my life would change. Or like, what's the Lord going to do? And I was kind of discouraged about that. And that it came to about the second week we were in Burgas. And I was just noticing throughout the past weeks all the little blessings the Lord just put in my life, and like, you knew mercies every day, like it says in Psalms, I think, and I just noticed, like, every day the Lord would give me something to just keep me going forward, and just changing my life in just little tiny ways, and putting up sparks in my heart, and I just didn't realize it. So I expected the Lord to change my life in like a big way, like I had a great sin in my life, or I was being called to something, or just something like that. But there really sometimes, it's not a big calling that you need. It's like the corners of your heart to be changed, and that to be last for your whole life. And I realized that the second weekend. And I was grateful that my life didn't change for something really big, but that I would carry like a spark throughout my whole life. And I'm just praying every day that that will continue. And just one thing that I got a blessing out of, I think I'll always remember, as with Mrs. Drowling and doing apartments. And it was the day I realized how it's a privilege to hand out scriptures to people who really want it. And there's this one man I gave it to, and he was heading out of the door of the apartments, and I stopped to give him one, and he, like, stood there in the door for, I don't know how many minutes, and just stood there and read it, and then kept walking, and then stopped and read it more, and it just was really sweet to my heart, and I was really grateful to just see something like that. And I just want to thank you guys for your prayers and everything, because like Rachel was saying, there's a lot of oppression the first day in Burgas, and we all prayed about it. I think that night we all had prayer meetings. The guys had one and the girls had one, and we all basically prayed it away, and the next day we had it. Everything was great. Like, literally, I was on the street for, like, I don't know, 3 hours, and, like, seriously, 98-99% of people took it, and they were grateful to have it. If they didn't take it, it's because they already had one. So that was really neat. And one thing, I was with Mrs. Darling most of the time on the street and doing apartments and stuff, so that was really neat. And I really liked enjoying getting to know her better and everything like that. And we were, it was the day before the meeting in Burgas, the second week, and she, let's see, our drivers, if they won't let us take more than an amount of people, and if they have too many people in the van, then you have to walk back or take a taxi. So we had two people left, and that would make the van overflow. And so I volunteered to walk back with Mrs. Darling, because she had to take her contact out of her eye because her eye was burning and her hotel was closed. So we decided to walk back. And then on the way, we grabbed some scriptures to hand on people so we could, on our way back, we could hand them to some people. And we stopped at two gentlemen, and they're elderly and stuff, and one was an atheist, and the other one really wanted to come to the meeting, and they're both friends. And the other guy, we could not convinced to come, where he wouldn't even take it down in Romans or anything. And we both, Mrs. Jang said a lot of good things to him and quoted some scripture. And he was really nice, but he didn't want to receive the scriptures. And we talked to him for a good 40 minutes. And then he had to go on our way because our people are probably worried about us by now. And so later that night, we're on the street getting our dinner. And I was with a group of girls, and we were all eating our doner kebabs and everything. And then I noticed someone getting my attention, and I was like, who would I know? and so I looked behind me, and it's the atheist guy who wouldn't take the John and Romans or anything. And I was like, and he was all happy to see me, and I was like, well, hi. And so I go over and talk to him. He's getting ready to go on his bike and head home or whatever. And the first question he asked was, so where is this church? Where is this church meeting? I was like, oh. And I happened to not have an invitation on me. Of course, it has the address. But I was able to give him a John Romans. And so we took it. And I was like, wow, this is great. And so he said he had to go home and before sunset because had to bike home or whatever. And so I said bye, or ciao, as they say. And I went back to a group of girls, and I was like telling Sarah about it. And I was like, man, I wish I had an invitation. She's like, Mary, I told you I had one. And so I was like, well, should I still give it to him? I mean, he's like way down there. Seriously, like from here to probably the end of the church or the street, I could see him riding his bike away. And I just looked, and I was like, should I go after him? And so it's like, well, one thing, that's always stuck out to me is Brother Gip wrote on this board during in Canada, and he wrote out gospel and then highlighted go, and you have to go after them. And that just kind of popped into my mind. It's like, well, I guess I better go. I mean, what else am I going to do? It's like his blood's on my hand. I mean, I got to go. And so, like, I got the invitation from Sarah, and I literally leaped over a bench and ran after him. So if you could imagine me running top speed, and also my shoes are really loud, so, and we're on Cobblestone Street, so if you could just picture that. And so I'm like booking it, and I was like, Lord, help me make it in time. I mean, I'm going after him, I gotta make it. And so, and then I see him, and he's not riding his bike anymore, and he's walking with his friend, and I'm like, oh, good. So I run after him, and like, I don't even say hi to his friend, but I was like, hey, and his name was like Lushfig or something complicated, and so I was like, hey, so I have an invitation, the address is right here, before he had time to argue or say anything different. I just was like, I hope you can come, and I'll be praying for you. And so I just ran off away before he could do anything, and like, I don't even know him, I'm running back, I already gave it to him, but I kept running. And after that, I was, like, so excited to tell Mrs. Jen because she wasn't there with everybody. And I was, like, telling her, and we're, like, so excited. We're, like, I can't believe that happened. That's the most exciting thing I've ever done in my whole entire life and all that stuff. And so we're just kind of rejoicing in the Lord and stuff. And then the very next day, which is the day of the meeting, sorry, I'm probably talking too fast because I'm kind of excited. So we were walking back again, and this is the end of the day, and we saw him riding his bike again, and we're like, hi, and like, fancy meeting you here again. And so Mrs. Darling like just said, well, are you going to come to the meeting? And he was like, yeah, I am. And he said, da, which is Bulgarian for yeah. And so we're like, good. And so then he had to go off again, and I thought for sure that he would come, and I thought for sure he would get saved, and I would see him get a Bible that night, and we didn't see him at all. And I don't know what the Lord had in mind for that, but and that was really hard. And I was in my hotel room, and I was crying, and Rachel came up, and she was talking to me, and she said that she doesn't know why he came or not, but 200 people have gotten saved so far, over 200, and I mean, able to tell a story that that person you went after got saved, but it's a pretty big story to be a part of someone, a bunch of people who got, 200 people that got saved, and kind of put me in my place, and I realized how selfish I was being, and you know, repented and stuff, and it's like, thank you, Lord, for helping me be a part of a big story where over 200 people got saved. And I don't know if you're thinking of going on a trip like this, but I believe everyone should go on at least one missions trip, and you should know for sure that you're going, and the Lord will provide a way as he had for me, and he will tell you, and like he told me. I mean, he gave me a Bible verse, and I think it's a miracle that he could do something like that for me. And you may not expect the Lord to change your life or we call it the missions field, but if you pray and ask him to change the corners of your heart, then he will. And he'll give you a story to tell, even if not what you expected will happen. And just want to thank you guys for praying for us. And I can testify that's made a huge difference in the difference where we were over there. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Well, I hope this makes sense because there's a lot of little things, but there's a lot. This trip was a real blessing, and I just want to thank everyone, first of all, for praying. That makes a total difference, and especially those who took care of Naomi and Peter, because, you know, as a parent, that's one of your biggest things, you know. I don't mind going on the trips. I think it's great. It's a real blessing and everything like that, but take care of home here first, and then go. So that was a blessing to know. And someone this morning, I thanked her for doing that. And she said, oh, no, that's a blessing. And for them to say that's a blessing, that's how it should be. We need to really encourage each other. She encouraged me by saying it was a blessing to have my kids. That, you know, I want to be a blessing to you guys. And I appreciate you guys being a blessing to us. So, it was kind of neat that Mary said how the Lord spoke to her about going, because I was going to say the same. Dave goes every year, and I get excited about him going because I think it's a great thing. And so I know what it's like because I went when Naomi was 2, and then when Rachel turned 13, and now Naomi turned 13. So every time I go, somebody has a birthday, but that's the time that it falls on. It was about a year ago, and none of my family knew this, but I was thinking, you know, I should probably go on another trip again. And the Lord's like, yeah, why don't you go next year? I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay, you know, I should probably do that. So I was praying about it and that, and I didn't know that my whole family was going to go, a lot of them. And it was kind of neat because one night in devotions, David said, yeah, Rachel wants to go. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I want to go too. He's like, you want to go too? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I've been praying about this for a long time. So it's kind of neat because the Lord spoke to my heart, and here he was working on my family, and me not knowing it. So I just think that's kind of neat that the Lord let us go over there together. So, the morning challenge, like some of these guys have said, were a great blessing because these men that got up and spoke, like Sarah said, the Lord uses them. And the theme to me of the 2 weeks was to God be the glory. And that's what a lot of them just kept bringing back. And then I got home, and then Wednesday night, Pastor was teaching out of Proverbs, and he said, well, it doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's to God be the glory. And I was like, exactly. So that was like, okay, you know, I just really appreciated that. And that's what it's all about, you know, because we were over there doing all this, and I enjoy it anyways, but it's not about us. It's to God's glory. So that was a real blessing. But, and, you know, it's kind of nice going, you know, at not first, because then most of the people told your story, so I can skip through a little bit. But the singing at the missionary's house was a blessing, like Sarah said. And he said that when he comes back to the States, and I kind of feel this too, that the Americans don't realize how much, you know, singing and praising the Lord, we just take it for granted, and we don't really sing with our hearts. And he sees that, and, you know, I kind of feel that too. And so that was a blessing to hear from a missionary over there. And their people do. They love the Lord, like the girls are saying. And it's encouraging seeing their church so excited, from little kids all the way up to a very elderly. There's an elderly man and lady sitting in church Sunday morning, and they were just so happy to be there and just really focused in on Brother Malucci's preaching. That was so neat. But just seeing them be happy about it. And then when we were on the streets, this was not even a group that we were working with. It was a couple of girls came up to us and said, oh, we're from a Baptist church near here. And it wasn't with the missionaries. And they said, and so they wanted to pass out John and Romans with us. We're like, oh, this is great, you know. So they started doing it with us, and they said, you guys have a real good testimony for our church, because, you know, they try hard there, and so it was a blessing that we could be a blessing and encouragement to their church, who aren't even related with these missionary families. So that was pretty sweet. There's so many, and I can't even read my notes because Mary accidentally lost my glasses. No, I'm kidding. I loved working with Mary and getting to know her, and I had to give her up at the end of the 2 weeks. I said, you know, I have to let you go with someone else because I was having too much fun with her, you know. So it was a blessing to watch her grow so much in the Lord, and learning Jeff's little, you know, tricks. But I know Jeff now, so I don't let him get the best, you know. So that was fun. But at one of the meetings, there was this guy that came, and I'm like, oh, my word, I gave him a John and Romans on the street. And so he was coming up, and he had the same shirt on from 3 days ago. And he looked like the skipper on Gilligan's Island. He really did. I was like, there's that guy. And so he was coming up, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And all of a sudden, the Orthodox priest in his garb walked in front of him. And so his face was like, he was terrified. So he started walking away. And because he was like, oh, I better not. So I went over to him, like, no, come inside. And so he sheepishly went around, but he did come inside, praise the Lord. But that's how much of a stronghold they have on those people, because he was afraid to come in, you know. But praise the Lord, he did. I don't, you know, what ever happened. But he came and got a Bible. So that's great. And then our bus driver, He didn't speak a whole lot, but I think he spoke more than he let on to. So we just talked freely, you know. But his birthday was the night of the last meeting, and I was like, oh, wouldn't it be great if he had his spiritual birthday with his physical birthday, you know? So we made him a card and signed it and stuff like that. And at the end of the meeting, you know, everyone's gone. And just a few people hung around, and our bus drivers had to wait for us. So we were singing Victory in Jesus, and I looked over, and he's raising his Bible, and he's just got this biggest grin. He's like, oh, like, you know, like he was so excited. So I don't know if he did get saved, but it was so exciting to see that, you know. So that was a really big blessing. But and then just to know that almost 800 people in those two cities that we went to, there are 800 Bibles, 800 different homes that have a whole Bible, and 155,000 John and Romans sitting in their house, and so there's light in their house, and all they need to do is, you know, we need to pray that they will go to it, pick it up, and read it, and, you know, let the Lord speak to them. So I'm just really thankful that I got to go. I guess the biggest thing that kind of stuck out to me was, you know, like Sarah said, some of them weren't happy. You know, a lot of them were. But there was a few people that I was stuffing mailboxes also, and this lady was ripping them out. So I thought, okay, I'll just go to the next neighbors, you know. And I felt bad, so I started praying. I'm like, Lord, you know, I feel bad for her neighbors. You know, I was like, okay, she didn't want it, but let your neighbors. So I just started praying for her and praying for that. So, you know, we finished off the apartments down the road, and I thought, I'll go back. So Mary and I went back. I think it was with Mary that day. And she wasn't there. So I thought, okay, good. So I started sticking them all in there, and well, she comes running down, and she's ripping them out, and she's throwing them at me, you know, and so I just started quoting scripture because I didn't understand the thing she was saying, but she didn't understand me either. But I just started quoting scripture, and I told her, you know what, I'm going to pray for you because my heart goes out to people like that. I had another apartment, that same thing happened, and Dave's like, man, how many people do you get that, you know, throw Bibles at you, you know? And then we went to McDonald's a few times. And so I was on my way out, and I handed this guy a John of Romans, and I turned around, and he was ripping it in front of me, you know. And I'm like, and I told him, I'm going to pray for you. And everybody that threw the Bible at me, I just told him, I'm going to pray for you. So I pray that I will keep them on my heart and pray for them, because to me, those are the people that if they don't get saved, well, anybody, but if they don't get saved and they do go to hell, they'll remember that. And that's so sad and horrifying, you know. So I just praise the Lord that somebody told me. I remember brother, Spurgeon, and they were singing that song. And aren't you glad somebody told you? And I was like, yes. So I just praise the Lord for that. So, you know, like Mary said, I think it'd be great, you know, if you could go, start saving, and it's really a great thing to do. Maybe you can't afford to, whatever. You can go on visitation, because that's a form. America needs it as much, you know, too, especially now. It just keeps getting darker and darker, and like Rachel said, we need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up, and be a blessing to each other. So, you know, if you can't go, go on visitation, because you're doing God's work. And just be praying, pray for each other and for our church and all the people in Bulgaria. And just so much to pray for. And I just thank Pastor for preaching the truth. And I just thank the Lord for saving my soul and giving me a purpose. So praise the Lord, and thank you.
Well, as everyone said, I'd like to thank you all for praying. It was it's the third trip I've been on overseas, and the last one I went in 07. So it's been about 5 years. I went to PBI and didn't have a chance to go, really. So I've been wanting to go for a while, and I really wanted to go to Czechoslovakia, but it just didn't work out. And so the Lord let me go on this one. And I even fasted a little bit, and I was really praying, because, you know, I know what goes on over there, so I know that a lot of good happens and it's exciting. But I didn't just want it to be another mission trip where I wanted the Lord to really change my life. And here, but all these times, people go on mission trips, and it's a life-changing experience. And I said when I went to Hungary and Bulgaria before that it was a life-changing experience, but it really didn't change my life. It's something I remember and look back on. But out of any mission trip or anything I've done, this is truly, by God's grace, been a life-changing experience. He really spoke to my heart, really changed my life. He really showed me some things that that really amazed me. And one of the things, if I could say anything about the trip summing up, is there's a chorus that we always sing at camp, and it's really good, but the trip may remind me of this chorus. It says, "What a mighty God we serve. Angels fall before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve." And he really pointed that out to me on this trip, because there was so much opposition by the Orthodox Church, and just the devil working in different ways. And just to see the prayers of thousands of people all across the U.S. and even other countries maybe that knew about the trip just praying, and seeing those walls fall down and seeing those people come, even in spite of the church and all this, and just seeing God work in their hearts and their lives, it means we have a great God. And just know the 155,000 pieces of scripture, and you have a lot of time to think of doing something for God, and it's like, oh, that can never get done. But it says that God's the God of the impossible, and for it seems almost unheard of that 34 Americans, about 20 Bulgarians, get 155,000 John Romans. But that's just showing you how good our God is, and how big he is, and how much he works. And there's a lot that spoke to me on the trip. And there's, like everyone else has said, the preaching was really good every morning. And I was, the Lord was just dealing with me. I was reading my Bible a lot. And I got out the first night we were there. We got up to our hotel room, been down the street, and I just looked over the city. There's about 400,000 people in Varna. And I just began to weep, you know. I'm like, these people really have never had a chance to the gospel. There's 400,000 people. How are we going to be able to do anything to this city? And then after the 2 weeks, we got about 249 people got saved. And there's homes in almost every one of those houses. We were able to reach almost the whole city with the gospel. And that's just amazing what the Lord did. And there's a guy, he was preaching. He's from Ohio. He works at Barron Presbyterian, but he was preaching on Sunday. And he was giving a message about the four leprous men in, I think, 2 Kings. And he said, who's going to stand up and be the hero? And God can use anybody. God used the four leprous men to go and save a city. And what's the city that you're going to save? And God really spoke to my heart about that. Is, you know what, there's a... So I firmly, through this trip, believe that the Lord's called me to be a missionary. And I don't know where or what, but he told me to go save a city. And I don't know what that city is, or I don't know what kind of hero I'm going to be, but he says, you know what, God can use anybody. He used those four leprous men that were just did what God just went and did something. They're leprous, they're outcasts, they're people that nobody else wants. But they went and saved the city. And then the next day, it was a Monday, or actually a Tuesday, I think, we actually got to the next city. And we'd all been doing pretty good, you know. We all really spiritual, hand out down Romans, hand out scriptures. And like everyone said, the first day was kind of rough. And we're all kind of down because people weren't taking them. We were all praying. And this guy preached about on Mark chapter. It was in Mark about the guy, oh, the palsy. They brought the guy sick of palsy. And just the effort that those people went through to get him to Christ. I mean, they tore down. He couldn't go through the door, so they tore down the house and everything. And he said, you know what, we need to take it to the next level. You know, maybe you guys are doing great, but you're not doing all that you can do. And you're not reading as much as you can, you're not praying as much. And so that day, our whole entire group, we got on 116 boxes of John Romans. And it was just neat to see that the Lord spoke to all of our hearts. I know we did, because that the whole day was fantastic. And that's probably something that will never leave me, is I need to take it to the next level. And there's as much as I'm doing now, there's so much more that I can be doing. I didn't need to do, and that really, really impressed me. And the Lord also showed me some interesting things on the trip that were kind of interesting. But there was the first night we were in the new city of Burgos, and I usually leave the key at the hotel room, so that way if your roommate comes back at a different time, he can grab the key and he can get up the room. Well, I had the key with me in my pocket, and we're coming back, and Jeff had already ran back to the hotel. And I'm like, great, Jeff won't be able to get the keys. He's going to be looking for me. He's going to be kind of frustrated that I can't get into the room. So I asked one of the guys, like, where's the hotel? He's like, well, it's just that way into the right or something. So I'm like, okay, I can make it. So I started booking it to the hotel. And I took a wrong turn, and all of a sudden, I got a bunch of money in my pocket, and I'm lost in the city of Burgos. I'm like, great. I was really scared. I really was. I generally don't get scared about that. Because you hear about all these people pickpocketing and all these stuff. Man, so I was hoofing. I was like running from around from 5th Street, and then if I saw someone, I'll slow down so they didn't think I was panicking. And then a passenger walked by, and then I just kind of kept running. And eventually, I came up on a group of police officers, about six of them, six Logan police officers, and they didn't speak much English, but I knew what the hotel name was. I'm like, do you guys know? And I was really panting. I was like, do you guys know where the hotel Lips is? And I was like, the hotel Lips is like. They're like, oh, it's about 5 for me. You should get a cab. But it's down that way to the left. I'm like, thanks. So I ran back to the hotel. I find Jeff and I was like, what'd you do? I was like, oh, I was trying to get together. Like, oh, I wasn't even up in my room. I was on the computer doing something else. You could have waited a while. I'm like, oh, great. So the Lord showed me that it's good to never leave the people you're going with. And so I should have just stayed with the group and walked back to the hotel. But, yeah. And then we were coming up. So I was entering the Brother Sturts that I was telling you is to watch out for people. They're going to try to pickpocket. Even the missionary told us, you know, people are going to try to take stuff from you, steal stuff from you. And so I was always careful and watching. So I got to Chicago when we flew back. And then I don't know if I left it, but I think someone took it and someone else found it. But I have my Bible. And usually I keep my passport and my boarding pass. I usually have it in my pocket. Well, I decided to throw it in my Bible case, and so I came out of the bathroom, and all of a sudden it wasn't there. I didn't have my Bible or my passport or my boarding pass. I was like, wow. So I come back to America, and either I misplaced it or it got stolen, so I come back to America, and I get pickpocketed. I was like, that's kind of interesting. Because I was kind of off my guard. I was like, well, I'm not in a foreign country, so I really have to be as careful. You know, Americans are a lot less, a lot more nice, and thankfully, they called me and I got my Bible back and I got my passport back and my boarding pass. That was a blessing. I got everything worked out fine. And, but it was just, it was really neat to see the Lord to work through me, show me some stuff. And I thank you for your prayers. And I really do believe this will be a life-changing experience. And I really pray that if anyone else is thinking about going, that they wouldn't hesitate. And a lot of people think, well, what about the money? Or, if the Lord wants you to go, He's going to provide the money. And if you're worried about anything else, just give it to the Lord and let Him work with you and deal with you on it. So I just, I covet your prayers as I still have a lot of stuff in my own life to straighten and get ready. But just pray for the Lord's leadership and guidance. And then once again, thanks for your prayers.
Amen. Dobry večer, radvam sedate vidya. That's good evening. I'm glad to see you in Bulgarian. I am starting to learn the lesson or the language of Bulgaria or Bulgarian, so I'll tell you more about that later. But I wanted to say Psalm 40 verse 1 really got me this year. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. After last year's trip, it was a blessing, and I really had a good time. I had kind of mixed feelings about coming back because I really liked it over there. And before this year's trip, I prayed a lot. And I asked the Lord to reveal some things to me. And He definitely answered some prayers. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. I have a burden more for people over in Bulgaria. And I would have been more than happy. I don't know if I told my parents this or not, but I would have been more than happy to just stay there this time. Because a couple of reasons. I'll be short. I won't go too long because a lot of the things have already been said. But they do have a shortage of Christians over there. That one guy that Dave had talked about, how he was like, where have you been? You guys should have been here 10 years ago. He walked up to Pastor Rodney Botiford and said, where have you been? And that just stuck with me. We're here now, and he says, well, when are you guys leaving? We're leaving on Saturday. So you can't leave Saturday. What am I going to do next week and the week after and so on and so forth? And they have, Brother Owens has a couple of churches in Sofia. Brother Malucci has one in Varna. And there's a really, really small one in Vargas. So there's not a whole lot of churches over there. They do need a lot of Christians. I'll tell you a couple of brief stories and some things. I like to remember the way I meet people on the streets. Passing the John Romans out to the older folks is always a blessing to me. I enjoy doing that. And they were pretty receptive. There was one guy, you give it to him, and he just stops dead in his tracks and starts reading it right in the middle of a walkway. And he's standing there for 5-10 minutes, just reading the book of John. And I just like seeing things like that. There was another guy I gave it to, and it was near a bus stop. And you never know what they're going to do with the John Romans when you give it to them. Some of them throw it away. Some of them set it on a ledge. Some of them take them, of course. But this, I watched this old guy to see what he was going to do with it. And he was walking real slow, and he was starting to read it, and he was checking it out. And then he just stopped. And I was like, please don't throw it away. And he reached down into his little bag and put it in his bag so he could take it home with him. I really like seeing things like that. It's so precious. There was one old guy that didn't like me in Santino at the mailboxes one day. I only saw really a couple of angry Bulgarians. This guy was a very angry Bulgarian. Me and Santino were doing the mailboxes, and he was sitting behind us at the bench, and he saw what we were doing, and he obviously probably knew what we were doing, and he just, before we had gotten there, they had already put in a bunch of advertisements, like grocery ads, and the mailboxes were all full already, so we're just trying to get what we can in there. The guy was so mad, he started ripping everything out of all the mailboxes, and just throwing them everywhere, and we're just standing there, well, what do you do, you know, you can't really do much, and Santino was like, say something to him, you know, I was like, so I just started preaching to him. He calmed down a little bit, and we just walked away from that. I remember that was building 40, door 2. So if I'm ever over there again, I'm going to hit that building. But it was a neat moment in Varna on a bus stop where I gave a John Romans to these two ladies sitting near the bus stop, and they were selling fruit or something at the stand, and you're walking back and forth. You see them over and over again, and they were real happy to get the John Romans, and they kept saying something to me. I didn't understand what they were saying, but I came back later and there was a guy sitting next to the lady instead of two ladies. And the guy didn't get one, and the lady's like, give him one, give him one. I was like, sure. So I gave him one. Next thing you know, he's telling me where to stand. That's a good place right there. Stand right there. People going by all the time. I'm pretty sure that's what he was saying, because you could tell by their body English. But it was really cool to see that. The guy that I remember the most on the streets, he walked up to me and he wanted one. I gave it to him. He spoke a little English, and I was trying to understand what he was saying. I think he wanted to know where it was, when it was, and I just kept pointing on the invite. It's right here, 7 o'clock, this Saturday, or, you know, whatever. And he shook my hand, and he walked away. And, you know, you don't remember. I remember his face, but you don't. He ran into so many people, but that guy really stuck out. And we're standing there at the service the first week in Varna, and I'm kind of ushering people in, and then here he comes walking down the steps. He showed up. And I didn't get a chance to give him the Bible, but I watched him get his Bible afterwards. I don't know why, but he had these Top Gun Tom Cruise sunglasses on when he walked out. It was kind of funny. That's really a blessing when you can see somebody you actually gave a John Romans to on the street show up, and he recognized me too. That's really cool to see that. Some of the teens over there would throw stuff away. I remember these two girls towards the end of our trip in Borgas. They came up to me and they wanted one. It's very rare for them to walk up to you and ask for them, but some of the people do that. And these two teens walked up and they grabbed it. They went right to the garbage can and threw it out. I believe that they did that on purpose. So it's really sad, the teens. You know, these teenagers, they're probably not being taught the Lord, you know, in their schools or at home. And it's really sad to see stuff like that. But you just brush that off and you move on to the next guys. There was one guy that was kind of cool. He came up to me and he says, you guys Mormons? Jehovah's Witnesses? I'm like, no, we're Baptists from America. And he's like, oh, you the good guys. Shook my hand and he took a John Romans. He walked away with a big smile on his face. I thought that was funny. I remember that. That was back in Varna. That guy that said, where have you been? He really, I'll never forget when Rodney was talking about that in his testimonies that morning. And they want us there, and not all of them, but there are some people over there that want us there, and they need us over there. There's a shortage of Christians. And one of the things I prayed for on this trip was to, I wanted to ask the Lord to show me, you know, I want to follow your will. I want to be where you want me to be, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm not sure right now, 100% sure, but the Lord might be calling me over to the mission field in Bulgaria. I don't know for sure, but I have to. I kind of freaked out Pastor when I sent him an email. He was afraid that I was going to just run off, you know, right away. But I was like, no, I got to grow. And I just want to ask you for prayer and guidance and direction. Pastor and Brother Darlin talked to me over there, too. And not that it was a distraction, but I did meet somebody over there. And that was a blessing. And I had the Lord show me all kinds of things over there. And I promised the group that was over there, because I had been, you know, having dinner with the group, with Olya. And I told everybody that if I do make a decision to go wherever it is, it'll be for the right reasons. And that's a promise. It won't be a distraction. And one thing I want to mention about Rachel. Rachel was a blessing, and I wasn't very nice to her a couple of times. But we were doing apartments one day, and I saw her. I come around the corner, and I was going to check this door out and do some more mailboxes, and she was already inside putting them in. She didn't see me coming up. She was kind of looking down. I could see her through the window. And I just walked right up to the window, and I was like, "Bleh!" Unfortunately, about 5 minutes earlier, she had been startled by this old guy inside the building, so she thought he was back. So she turned ghostly white, and then I think it was the same day, a couple hours later, I did it again to her in the van, so I scared her half to death twice in the same day. But she understood that I was just goofing around, but that was fun. But the whole trip was a blessing. I really enjoyed listening to your testimonies, the other people on the trip, because I didn't really get the chance to ask you about those. And Brian was a blessing on the trip. The Lord really worked on both our hearts. We spent a few nights really passionate in prayer, and I had never seen Brian like that before. But thank you for your prayers, and if you ever get a chance to go on these trips, go. Judy said, if you don't go, you got visitation. You got your neighborhood to do. I mean, the missionary field is everywhere. It's not just overseas. It's not just in Mexico. And I will pray for everybody here to have more zeal. You go on trips like this, and you come back, and you're all fired up. Yesterday, we didn't have visitation, but I went through my neighborhood instead because I wanted to do something. But I just pray that I really would like to see more zeal in this church. And I know we have zeal, but I want to see more, because it's just... It's all for the Lord, and just think about the judgment seat of Christ, because you're going to be there, and we're all probably going to have bad moments at the judgment seat of Christ. But serve the Lord the best you can, and that message that Brother Phil Taylor gave us, take it to the next level. Me and Brian took that literally that day. That's the day we passed out, just our team alone, 31 and a half boxes of John Romans. For those of you who don't know, there's about 250 John Romans in each box, and we did that in a day. The entire group did 116 that day, and that message really stuck with me and Brian and a lot of the others on the trip. So take it to the next level. Pray for more zeal. Amen.
Now everything really has been said, but I've been on quite a few of these trips, and it's been a blessing to do that, and there's usually not any one huge thing that sticks out all the time. It's usually a bunch of small things. And one thing I'll never, this is my 12th trip over there, and I'll never ever get over as many times I go, is thinking about where we are. And, you know, I remember growing up and, you know, under the Cold War and all that sort of thing, and Iron Curtain. And I read numerous missionary books, Harlan Popov, Warren Braun, different ones, of what they went through over there. And to be over there in those countries, and what a great God we serve, what a merciful God we serve. He saved me from a lake of fire. I didn't deserve that. He put something in my heart that gave me a burden to do something like this. I didn't deserve that. That's not in me. In me is my flesh, it dwelleth no good thing. In my root, I'm a selfish man, and I still fight that. But yet God put something in my heart to allow me to do this. God was so merciful that he changed the rule of an empire to get the word of God to those people. And if you were to say 1988, oh, there's going to be millions of scriptures put out in Eastern Europe and Russia, they would have said, you're crazy. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Back when the Couriers for Christ started in 1979, they used to smuggle the scriptures in. It would take 6 months to smuggle 2,000 New Testaments into those countries. 6 months. Our team put out 6,000 in a day in the same cities.
That's not because of us. That's because of the love and the mercy of God for those people. And I, no matter how many times I'm over there, that always strikes me. And always strikes me is how God will bring together a group of people from all over the country, from all sorts of different churches, sometimes some Canadians, of course working with, in this case, the Bulgarians or Lithuanians, whoever it might be, whatever country we're in. And God will unify that team for the cause of Christ. He'll unify that team because he loved those people in that country enough to die for them. And we're there, and we're the ones who have the privilege of handing it to him. I'll never get over that miracle. And I'm just real grateful for that. And when Brian already mentioned it, but a man preached a message I never heard put that way before about, you know, the four leprous men and how they saved the city. You know, they could have sat there and done nothing. I went over the teens at Sunday school this morning, but, you know, here they were. They were the offscouring of the earth. They were diseased. They were poor. They were starving to death. They had nothing to offer. And yet they did something that saved the city. What's our excuse? You have none. I have none. People like Brother Jeff said, we need to have more zeal. And I guess that's my challenge to you folks tonight, is that along with just ponder and think about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, how he's allowed us, like Sarah mentioned. You know, we're standing in line with our passports and kind of whining about why we're stuck in Istanbul. You know, mine says United States of America. It doesn't say Syria. I'm not going back to Soviet Georgia. I'm not going back to Kazakhstan or Iraq. Here you go. That's a blessing. And I thank God for that. And while I'm here in this country, and God has given me the things he's given me and the materials to do it, then I want to try to serve him more and do more for him. And the very first trip I went on, I was sitting at the table with Brother Sturz, and we had just gotten done handing out New Testaments that time, literally underneath the statues of Stalin. They still had them up. We had a hotel room with listening devices in it yet. And he had told me, he says, they had to stop printing the New Testaments for a while because of lack of funds. I said, you gotta be kidding me. The richest country in the world can't pay for Bibles? And, you know, that's Christianity and a changing culture. But, like somebody mentioned that message about raising the bar, we need to bring it up. We need to raise that bar. And what, you know, it's not about us, it's not about you, it's not about me. It's about him. What can we do for our Savior? I tell you, if you want to meet some zealous Christians, you go overseas and you rub shoulders with those people who paid the price, who are not all infiltrated with all the junk here and all the toys and gadgets, who are living hand to mouth. They love God. Yet God has given us so much that we ought to have that same type of love for him. So it was a real blessing. And again, it just amazes me all the time that God has opened those doors up and allowed those people. We look at it and say, well, there's 150,000 or more copies of John Romans. But you know what? There's another 50 or 75,000, maybe another 100,000 people that we came into contact with that said no, unfortunately. But they got another chance. God gave them a chance. They can't say, you never told me, God. Because yeah, he did. Tried giving you John Romans, he refused it. And I just wonder how many people in this city here have had chances to receive a gospel tract or a clear presentation of the gospel, and they've refused it. Over there, might be atheism, might be the church. Over here, it might be more pride, materialism. Whatever it is, the devil always will have an excuse for somebody to reject Christ, but that excuse won't do, not when the time comes. So, again, thank you for your prayers. I had it was a unique experience. Lord, actually, he gave me patience. I couldn't believe it. I was go up to the ticket counter and just get your boarding pass, and they say your flight has been canceled. You'll be here in Istanbul for 2 days. It's like, 2 days? It's 2 days. Please move aside, because we got other people coming.
You just 2 days, okay. So long story, thankfully I had some extra money on me so I could buy the visa to enter the country. I found it in my suitcase, and so that was a blessing. But in hindsight, it was a neat time. I enjoyed really spending a couple extra days with my daughters, and they shopped me out. I hung in there. I hung in there for about 7-8 hours and just shopping. And then finally it said, we want to go to the Spice Bazaar again. I'm looking. It says, oh, there's a coffee shop. I tell you what, I'll be here. You girls go. So, gosh, about 8 lira, and I was good to go there. I just put my feet up like an old man and sat there and sipped my cappuccino. So, and they shopped. So that was best of both worlds. But it was, and then we missed a shuttle bus back from there. We didn't miss it. It missed us. Who could miss us? But it did. We stood up. But anyway, it never came. So we got a taxi, and of course we can't speak the language. So I said, well, I got a map, and I know where the hotel is, but I'm going to take it to the cab driver, because if I circle the hotel on a map, he could say, oh, yeah, I know where that is, you know. And so I showed him the room key, and I said, and, you know, of course, he starts pointing to other areas of the city. No. Take it away from that cab driver, show it to another one. Oh, yeah, and he points to the right spot, you know. So, yes. And so we get in. I say, I wonder how much this is going to cost, you know. And so we just take off. He's weaving in and out of the traffic like a video game, looking at the speedometer. He's going 130 kilometers, but it is a 70 zone. So he's going about 75 or 80 in a 40 zone. And it's like those video games, you know, except it's real life. And this little four-cylinder car going down the road. And I thought, I wonder how much this is going to cost. I look, and there's 480 lira per liter. I'm thinking, that's about $12 a gallon. This is going to be an expensive cab ride. So, it wasn't too bad, but yeah. But it was a blessing. And then we mentioned a plane ride home, so we finally got back to Newark. And a little bit after our plane left, it should be the other way around. But anyway, so we had another night in Newark. But thank the Lord, they had a washing machine there, so we had clean clothes on the way home. And so I was glad to be home. I was never so glad when they get through customs. A lot of times they say, most of the time, I always like hearing it, because I'm always glad to be home in the U.S. They say, welcome back, or welcome home. It's like, he said that, said, yes. You know, even though it was still over in Newark, yet it was still in the U.S. So, but anyway, thanks again for your prayers, and I am grateful for the so many people in this church are mission-minded. There's been, over the years, I've counted them up, there's been 21 different people from this church have gone on those trips. And for a total of 41 times. So that's really amazing. I really don't think there's been any other church in the country that's had so many people go on as mission trips as we have. And that's a blessing. And aside from that, we had 19 people go to Mexico this spring, this summer. Seems like this spring. But so just want to commend you on that. And it's really a blessing, because it is encouraging. If I was to go year after year and come back and nobody else ever went, nobody else, you know, it'd get kind of old after a while. But thank you for your zealousness, and thank you really for your prayers, because these things are impossible without prayer. There's no reason these shouldn't work, and they do, because of prayers of God's people. So thank you.
Seems strange to me that nobody mentioned too much about the spices. You've always heard those stories about the Palestinians and Arabs that sell their daughters for a goat herd or something like that. Dave could have been the spice master and gotten a couple of son-in-laws along the way, but they weren't sure that they wanted the nose, so I'm not sure. I'll let you ask them about that privately, all right? But it's good to have everybody here. I appreciate the visitors that were here tonight. And we serve a great God, and it is a truly good gospel. I mean, for free for you and I, the price has been paid by Christ, you get everything. Eternal life, a mansion, and peace and joy here for nothing. Except humility and faith. Yeah? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed tonight. Appreciate y'all coming, your patience, and make sure and talk to some of these folks before you go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we got to hear. Thank you for what these folks got to experience over these last few weeks. It's always good to see the excitement, Lord, when folks come back and having been to a place like that and having seen fruit. Father, we labor ironically in a very blessed country, and yet at the same time we deal with many times on a regular basis spiritually harder people than these folks dealt with in Bulgaria. Pray, Father, you'd give us a vision for these things. Help us labor and work, for the night is coming, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, folks.